Good morning. The Secretary-General and the President will make opening remarks, and then we'll try to take a few questions, both here in the room and maybe also online. Secretary-General.
Good morning, President Zelensky, dear Volodymyr. It's great to see you again. Welcome to NATO. Ukraine is a highly valued partner of our alliance, and I thank you for your personal commitment to our partnership. We discussed Russia's substantial military build-up in and around Ukraine with tens of thousands of combat-ready troops, tanks, artillery, armored units, drones, electronic warfare systems. We see no sign that this build-up is stopping or slowing down. On the contrary, it continues. This build-up has no justification. It is provocative. It is destabilizing, and it undermines security in Europe. We call on Russia to return to diplomacy, to de-escalate, and to respect Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Any further aggression against Ukraine will have severe consequences and would carry a high price. Over the last years, we have seen a pattern of Russian aggressive actions. NATO allies have demonstrated the ability to respond. Since Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea in 2014, we have implemented the biggest reinforcement of our collective defense in a generation. And we will continue to do what is necessary to defend and protect all NATO allies. At the same time, NATO allies are prepared to talk to Russia, and we reiterate our invitation to Moscow for a meeting of the NATO-Russia Council, because dialogue is even more important when tensions are high. And at the same time, NATO remains vigilant. We have stepped up our reconnaissance and intelligence collection, and we will continue to monitor the situation very closely. NATO stands with Ukraine. All allies support Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And we do not recognize Russia's illegal annexation of Crimea. Like all sovereign states, Ukraine has the right to defend itself as enshrined in the United Nations Charter. NATO will continue to give you practical support. Allies are training and advising your armed forces, participating in joint exercises, and providing equipment. NATO support for Ukraine is not a threat to Russia. Ukraine has the right to choose its own security arrangements. This is a fundamental principle of European security. And the decision on whether Ukraine can join NATO will be taken by Ukraine and 30 NATO allies alone. So, President Zelensky, thank you once again for coming to NATO and for our substantial discussion. We will continue to remain in close touch in the days and weeks to come. So, once again, welcome to NATO.
Thank you very much. Шановний пане Столтенберг.
Dear Mr. Stoltenberg, dear friends, dear journalists, we have just had a discussion with the Secretary General. The consultations were substantial, and we looked at the directions of our cooperation, taking into account modern and very dangerous challenges. I would like to express sincere gratitude to Mr. Stoltenberg, to NATO, for unwavering support of Ukraine and Ukrainian sovereignty and territorial integrity. Unfortunately, today we have to talk again and again that the rule of international law is key. The respect of internationally recognized borders, and, of course, restraint from threat and violence. What is happening now in Donbas, in the Crimea, at the Black Sea, and the Azov Sea has to be considered as a part of the hybrid war elements, where Russia is using blackmail and pressure. We are talking about the migrants, of course, as the instrument and weapon. We are talking about the cyber attacks. And of course, we can see that there is quite a demonstrative situation, that these elements, these challenges, are the elements of destabilization, not just for in Ukraine, but also destabilization of the situation on the border with NATO, and also creation of the narrative that NATO is indeed weakening. As indeed Mr. Stoltenberg has mentioned, that we have to remember that Ukraine's choice of joining NATO, you're absolutely right. Secretary General is the choice of Ukraine and 30 members of alliance alone. We are very grateful that the members of alliance in March 2021 have expressed the support to Ukraine, that Ukraine can define its decisions without the interference of the third party. We're very grateful that you gave us the clear signal of the issues of the membership of NATO, that it is the choice of NATO and the members of alliance alone. I do hope that in the future, the members of alliance would follow the same route without any referral to the red lines drawn by the third parties. We talked about the Ukrainian participation in various exercises and missions, and I would like to stress that Ukraine is a reliable partner of NATO, and we are happy to strengthen and deepen our cooperation in the region, particularly in the Black and the Azov Sea. Ukraine has started the process with the partners at the Black Sea so that we could increase our measures of trust and cooperation. We can see that the stability of the Black Sea is our common interest. If we cooperate effectively now, it means that our society can indeed meet the challenges, secure challenges in the future. Dear friends, I would like to say that in 1997, during the NATO summit in Madrid, NATO and Ukraine have signed the charter on the special partnership between Ukraine and NATO. And next year, we have 25 years of signing that document and that charter. Again, the summit is happening in Madrid. I can see the symbolic window of opportunity there. Thank you.
Dmitry Shkurko, National News Agency of Ukraine. Secretary General, NATO traditionally considered deterrence as an internal policy. But if we are looking at the reality, right now Ukraine just pulled out at least 100,000 Russian troops from the NATO borders. So that my question is, are there any chance that the deterrence role Ukraine is playing will be reflected somehow in the new strategic concept of NATO? Якщо можна, пане президент, питання вам. Вчора ви згадали про те, що Європа розглядає п'ять.
And if possible, the question to the president. You mentioned yesterday that Europe is considering five scenarios of reacting to the scenario to the Russian threat, but Ukraine only has one scenario. My question is very simple. Do the Western partners recognize what is happening and recognize that one scenario of Ukraine is indeed the defense of the nation? Because, of course, do they understand that the war and the blackmail of Russia will be responded by Ukraine, first of all?
We have decided to make a new strategic concept, to develop a new strategic concept to be agreed at the NATO summit in Madrid next year. And we do so because since we last agreed a strategic concept 10 years ago, the world has fundamentally changed. And the new strategic concept has to reflect that change. One of the things that has changed is the behavior of Russia. Back in the current strategic concept, we refer to Russia as a strategic partner. But since then, we have seen more aggressive actions by Russia. We have seen Russia invading neighbors. We have seen Russia illegally annexing Crimea and continue to destabilize eastern Ukraine. And these are one of the many changes that has to be reflected in a new strategic concept. Of course, now we have just started the process of developing and agreeing the new strategic concept, and it's too early to preempt the conclusions. But I believe that in the new strategic concept, we will express very strong support to the idea of NATO working closely with partners, including with Ukraine, and also expect that allies will clearly recommit to the principle of every sovereign nation's right to choose its own path, that Ukraine has the right to choose its own path, including what kind of security arrangements it wants to be part of. And also that for NATO it is a great value to work together with a partner like Ukraine. We think that we all are safer when we work more closely together. And this is important for NATO, it's important for Ukraine, and together we work to enhance or to work more closely together on how to help to solve conflicts and differences by peaceful means, not by the use of force. So I expect that the upcoming strategic concept will be very clear on the need to work closely with a partner like Ukraine.
Thank you very much for the question. Talking about the five scenarios I mentioned yesterday, and as you know, I said we've only got one format of response in case there is the escalation from Russia. You know, yesterday we talked for a number of hours about this in detail with the leaders and the leaders of the European Union, and we sensed that indeed the majority of the EU leaders and the countries from the Eastern Partnership understand and support the position of Ukraine. And of course, everybody understands the price will be too high, but nobody wants the number of victims, the loss of lives. Nobody wants that. I'm not sure that all the leaders of Europe understand in equal measure the situation, because not all the leaders of Europe understand comprehensively what is happening on our borders. So when somebody comes to us in a particular format with a visit, I always say to them, come with me to Donbass and have a look. It's not about saying that in Crimea is not our priority and Donbass is. No, but actually in Donbass, when you come to the front line, you can see what is happening. You can see the people. You can see not just the military, but you can see the civilians. You can talk to them. And you know, there were villages and little towns which were occupied, and now they are freed. They understand the difference. They understand what is key, the price of war. They understand the price of life. And I think that all the leaders of Europe can't evaluate the situation in the same way. But it's important that Russia should understand this price. That's my view, because, of course, to lose people, to have the loss of life, it is actually not just us, God forbid, but Russia as well. But we do believe that the diplomatic format of negotiations will win.
Steve, go ahead. To everyone, especially translators. I have a question for the two men, but President Zelensky first. Ukraine was promised membership in NATO. Ukraine has provided troops to NATO missions in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Mr. Stoltenberg said in Riga, repeated again today, that while Ukraine is not a part of the alliance, it is a highly valued partner. So I want to ask President Zelensky, what does NATO owe such a highly valued partner? And is NATO's credibility at stake in this affair? And then I would ask Secretary General Stoltenberg to answer the same question. But President Zelensky, please. Спасибо вам. Thank you.
А в чому запитання? Дякую за запитання.
Well, thank you very much for this question. Indeed, during a number of years, Ukraine can see itself as a member of the alliance. That's indeed the highest number and highest percentage of Ukrainians who want Ukraine to be a member of NATO. Indeed, is growing after the annexation of Crimea and the beginning of war 2014. And before, the society indeed was split. Before, 50% thought it was an important alliance for Ukrainians, and 50% thought, no, indeed, we have got such brilliant neighbors, we don't need the alliance. Indeed, there couldn't be any escalation, there couldn't be any occupation, and indeed, there was no way we could have a war with such a good neighbor. We have got mixed families, we've got mixed biography, and we've got joint history. But since 2014, we feel that Russia basically pushed Ukraine into NATO. That's indeed my view, that Russia indeed is paving the way for Ukraine to join NATO. Ukraine is indeed a big state, and we have got quite a strong army. Sometimes we debate with the members of the alliance who talk about the level of our army, that we don't have, we are closer to the standards or not. But you mentioned Afghanistan, mission Afghanistan. We feel that the operations or our mission or you know, where our troops saved indeed the lives of other people, and indeed they talk about the level of our army, and we haven't lost a single soldier in Afghanistan. That also talks about our level of training. But we all understand that, of course, when we talk about our army, however high the level is manyfold smaller than the one of the most powerful armies in the world, you know, the Russian army. So we understand that if the fully-fledged war takes place, we understand we are talking about hundreds of thousands of victims. We do not want this. We are civilized. We are a civilized country. And if escalation takes place, and everybody talks about it, and indeed, if there is a scaremongering from our neighbors, you know, and try to scaremonger and threaten the European our European partners, that can be perceived as a provocation and a dangerous one as such. When you ask us, what does NATO owe us, you know, NATO doesn't owe Ukraine anything. If our army is not, you know, going to protect NATO, we, you know, that's what Ukraine owes NATO, actually. And Ukraine is not a member of NATO, but we are defending the borders. That's my answer.
NATO has an open door policy, and this is enshrined in the NATO's founding treaty, Article 10 of the Washington Treaty, stating clearly that NATO can invite other European countries to join the alliance. And I was actually present at the NATO summit in Bucharest in 2008 when all allies agreed that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. And we stand by that decision and decisions taken after the Bucharest summit on the issue of Ukraine's possibility to become a NATO member. The message today to Russia is that it is for Ukraine as a sovereign nation to decide its own path, and for the 30 NATO allies to decide when Ukraine is ready to become a member. What is important now is that we focus on reforms, for Ukraine to meet NATO standards, and I welcome the strong commitment by President Zelensky on reforms, and also know that, for instance, when Ukrainian forces and NATO forces have operated together in Afghanistan or Iraq and elsewhere, that's important in our efforts to fight international terrorism, but it's also a way to increase and strengthen interoperability of NATO and Ukrainian forces. Let me also highlight that NATO has proven over the last years that our open-door policy is not only something we support in words, but also in deeds, partly by inviting two new countries, Montenegro and North Macedonia, to become members. So we have enlarged the alliance over the last few years with two new members, despite protests from Russia. And also we are supporting Ukraine in Ukraine's efforts to come closer to NATO membership. We help with reforms, fighting corruption, capacity building, modernize Ukraine's security and defense institutions. And NATO and NATO allies also provide training, advising. We have joint exercises, and NATO allies, allies also provide equipment. So we support Ukraine. We are strengthening Ukraine's defense and armed forces. And this is practical cooperation and practical support provided by NATO allies and NATO to Ukraine. So we stand in solidarity with Ukraine. We continue to support their efforts to become a NATO member. And we also send a very clear message that we are ready to talk to Russia. We actually believe in dialogue. We believe that dialogue is important, especially when times are difficult as they are now. And our invitation to Moscow to meet in the NATO-Russia Council stands, and we are ready to sit down. But we will never compromise on the right of every sovereign nation, as Ukraine, to choose its own path, and of the principle that it is for Ukraine and the 30 allies to decide when Ukraine is ready to join the alliance.
We'll go to Interfax Ukraine.
Thank you, Anna. Irina Sumer, news agency Interfax Ukraine. Question for both, almost like follow-up, what did you say right now, Secretary General, regarding NATO support and assistance for Ukraine? Recently became known that two allies in NATO, namely Germany and the Netherlands, blocked a possibility for Ukraine to receive via NATO agency weapon to defend itself. So how this statement and actual actions goes together, and what kind of future for NATO and Ukraine for cooperation do you see in the future? Thank you.
I see a great potential for cooperation partnership between Ukraine and NATO, and over the last years we have stepped up and we have agreed to work more closely together. I think this is good for Ukraine and good for NATO, and we are grateful for also the way Ukraine has contributed to different NATO missions and operations. The NATO Support and Procurement Agency, NSPA, has helped to facilitate the procurement of different types of equipment for Ukraine. For instance, anti-drone systems, winter clothing, and many other types of equipment, which is important for the Ukrainian armed forces. And then, on top of that, of course, NATO allies also provide different types of equipment on a bilateral framework or through bilateral agreements. I welcome the support that NATO allies and NATO provide, both when it comes to training, exercises, advice, but also the fact that NATO allies provide different types of equipment. Sometimes this happens through the NATO agency, and sometimes this is equipment which is provided bilaterally. I think the most important thing is that Ukraine gets this equipment, equipment which is important to strengthen the strength and the capabilities of the Ukrainian armed forces. We also help them, for instance, with command and control, with cyber defenses, and many other types of support to the Ukrainian armed forces.
Thank you very much for this question. We actually discussed it in depth with Mr. Stoltenberg today, I would like to give you a following answer. As you know, there is no unanimous consensus position in NATO. Not all 30 members of alliance support this, support the membership of Ukraine. And similarly, when we talk about the procurement contracts, there is no unanimous position concerning the military support to Ukraine from all the members of alliance. So we find different ways of resolving these issues. Thank you.
For Europe, a question for you, Mr. Secretary General. I understand there is no chance of NATO compromising on the Bucharest Declaration of 2008, but I wonder if NATO is considering compromising on some of the current relationship between NATO and Ukraine. You mentioned, for example, exercises, trust funds, etc. Would NATO be willing in the foreseeable future to perhaps have less exercises with Ukraine, provide less support, and potentially even reconsidering the enhanced opportunity partner status that you gave Ukraine last year? Or is this also something you won't compromise on?
So we will not compromise on the right of Ukraine to choose its own path. We will not compromise on the right for NATO to protect and defend all NATO allies. And we will not compromise on the fact that NATO has a partnership with Ukraine, which is important for us and for Ukraine, and Ukraine as a sovereign nation, and NATO as an alliance of 30 democracies, of course, have the right to work closely with a close partner as Ukraine. And our cooperation with Ukraine is defensive. It's not in any way a threat to Russia. The aggressor here is Russia. It's Russia that has used military force against Ukraine, illegally annexing a part of Ukraine, Crimea, back in 2014, and continued to destabilize eastern Ukraine. And now we see a significant, strong military build-up in and around Ukraine, with combat-ready troops, with armored units, with battle tanks, with a lot of advanced equipment that is actually absolutely unjustified and undermining the security of Ukraine, but also the security of Europe. So it is for Russia to change behavior. It is for Russia to change course. And the disturbing thing is that this is a pattern we have seen over many years, with Russia invading neighbors, Georgia, Ukraine, Russia violating key arms control agreements, like, for instance, the INF Treaty banning all intermediate-range weapons, and Russia deploying new nuclear-capable missiles in Europe. So this is this pattern of behavior that, of course, are of great concern, and that's also the reason why we are calling on Russia to step down and to de-escalate, and why we also so clearly convey that we are saddened by this development. We want another path. We want another development in Europe. So we will continue to strive for a better relationship with Russia. We'll continue to strive for meaningful dialogue with Russia. We are ready to sit down and discuss a wide range of issues, confidence-building measures, arms control, transparency, risk reduction, many other issues that can reduce the risk for incidents, accidents, or even an armed conflict in Europe. But we can never compromise on the main principle of respecting the sovereignty and territorial integrity of all nations in Europe, including, of course, Ukraine.
Thank you very much. This concludes this press conference. Thank you.
Thank you.